The kingdom mindset this morning, and we did talk about a little bit about that in Sunday school, and then the song about majesty, worship his majesty. He is our king, and that's what the topic is this morning. If you'd turn with me to Luke chapter 12, 29 through 34. While you're doing that, I'd like to read a little story. One night, a group of thieves broke into a jewelry store. But rather than stealing anything, they simply switched all the price tags. The next day, no one could tell what was valuable and what was cheap. The expensive jewels had suddenly become cheap, and the costume jewelry, which were virtually worthless, suddenly had great value. Customers who thought they were purchasing valuable gems were getting fakes, and those who couldn't afford the high-priced items were leaving the store with treasures. You know, someone is switching the price tags on possessions and things in our world. The things that at one time were not valuable seem to be valuable now. And the things that should be valuable, people are not putting much value upon. And even in our churches today, with the name it, claim it we have going on and all that kind of stuff, possessions and things become more important than the provider of them possessions. And this morning, that's what we're going to talk about. You can see easily how this can happen. I mean, if you watch TV, you're bombarded by commercials that say, you know, if you're really cool, you got to have this. If you want, you know, you're not going to be in the in crowd unless you're drinking Pepsi or something like that, or you got to have this, the coolest car. And it's the same as if you're driving in the city. Let's say you don't have TV, but you go on trips. You look at the billboards. You get flyers in the mail. In fact, if you got the Sunday paper today, half that thing is full of things that we'll look through and think, boy, I wish I could have that. Or I kind of need that. Where you really didn't realize you needed it until you really looked at the picture and saw, you know, that would really come in handy. But someone has switched the price tags on the values of things in our life. Luke 12, 29 through 34. Hopefully everyone is there by now. 29 through 34, Luke 12. And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye are in need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have, and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Let's pray. God, we just pray this morning that your word would be relevant to our lives, that we would understand that you desire to have us have a kingdom mindset, to look at things that are eternal and not things that are temporal. Not that you mind us having nice things, but you want us to focus upon you, the giver of those things. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I want to concentrate mostly on verse 31. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew puts it, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now that's the verse that I memorized. I memorized the Matthew one. So if for some reason I'm quoting it and I'm jumping back and forth and I skip one word or here or there, that's why. Because it's in there twice. And it says it a little bit different each time. But the principle and the idea is there. This morning I want to take this verse and I want to break it down a little bit into separate words and separate phrases so we can see how it might apply to our lives and how important sections of this is. So this morning I want to start out by looking at the first word that's there, the word but. The word but. This word shows us that the preceding verses are not what God wants from us. but he desires this thing. When you're talking to someone, you might say, I ran, but I didn't walk. It's the opposite thereof, you know. The Bible says, seek not what the world seeks, but do this. But. That the word but, if we're not careful, we kind of skim over that. We kind of don't think about that word but. But we need to think about that and the fact that, okay, if God's saying but do this, what did he say before that? And we know that he says, don't seek what the world seeks, but do this. And the second word we're going to look at is seek. Seek. Seek is a word that implies an action or a desire or an endeavor. How many here has ever played hide and seek? Everyone, right? I mean, who has not played hide and seek? When I was growing up, we played hide and seek. We played a game called ditch where you had to go out and find the person that you, the other team that was hiding. We've all played hide and seek. Maybe your wife, or you think your wife, hides your keys or your wallet in her purse or something, and you gotta seek for them or find them. My wife doesn't do that, of course. But I remember growing up, my dad would always say, Jill, where's my socks? Like they weren't in the same spot that they were the day before. But you know what I'm talking about. When we seek something, we are aiming to find that thing. We desire to have it. We can focus all our attention upon trying to get that. It's like the lady that had the 10 coins in the Bible, 10 silver coins, and she lost one. And she turned that house upside down to try to find it. And if we're at home and we lose our ring or our watch or something, and we got to head out to go somewhere, we'll turn that house upside down. We'll flip over the couches, lift up all the curtains and the mattresses, and try to find what we're looking for. And that's what God is telling us here. But seek. Seek. You desire to have it more than anything else. It's a driving force in your life. Don't seek after what the world seeks, but seek. God's not telling us not to seek anything. He's just saying don't seek what after the world seeks, but seek. And then the next word of importance there is the word first. But seek first. First shows the order of importance. It's not something that we should do second or third or even fifth or last, but the Bible says first. In sequential order, it is the first thing that we should do. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Don't seek what the world seeks, but seek ye first. And the next set of phrases seems to be the most important. And these previous verses are words that we just talked about point to the fact that it is important, and that is the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Don't seek after what the world seeks, but seek after the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek ye first points to us that this is the thing that God desires us to seek first. The world seeks after this other stuff, but God says, seek first. Seek first the kingdom of God. The word kingdom, basileia, I don't know if I pronounced that right. I was never good at Greek. But it occurs 164 times in the New Testament alone. It is the central theme in the New Testament, and it is stressed numerous times by Jesus himself in the Gospels. And I truly believe that God wants us to have a better understanding of the kingdom in a kingdom mindset. This morning, we're just going to touch just the surface of the whole idea of the kingdom. But I just challenge you, this is my first challenge to you, just to go home sometime and just look up the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. It's the same thing. It's just Matthew puts it one way and Luke puts it another way, the kingdom of God. And I think that you would be amazed at what you find about the kingdom. So what is a kingdom? A kingdom is a place or a realm headed by a king. It's not a democracy like we think, where persons or the people govern themselves and decide what is important in their own eyes, but it's a theocracy in which God, the supreme leader, is the one in charge. He governs everything and everyone. You know, there will be many kingdoms in this world. There has been, and there will be, but there is only one kingdom of God. He sets the rules. He is the owner, the ruler. He reigns. He decides everything. He has absolute power. It is not a king. It is a kingdom independent of all geographical areas and political countries. It is not the nation Israel or the Holy Land. It is not even necessarily his disciples or his church. But the kingdom is about God's kingly rule and his sovereign reign. It is true, though, that God's kingdom implies that there are people to be ruled over, correct? The Old Testament shows us this fact. It does not mention the kingdom of God, but it often speaks of God's rule and sovereign reign over the kings and kingdoms of the Old Testament, specifically his people, Israel. Leviticus 26, 12 and 13 says, "And I will walk among you and will be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt." God dwelt with his people. He took care of his people. He fed his people. He sheltered his people. He was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He loved his people, and he was their king. And then one day, they decided they want an earthly king. They wanted an earthly king. 1 Samuel 8, 6 and 7 says, "Give us a king to judge us." And Samuel prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord said unto Samuel, "Hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." You can almost hear the sadness in his voice. You know what, Samuel? They haven't rejected you. They have rejected me. Here was God taking care of his people, loving them, doing what he thought was best for them. And they came and said, "You know what? We want to have our own king. You know, I don't want you to be our king anymore." And that's true in our lives a lot of times. God is there, and he has taken care of us. He's done all this wonderful stuff for us, and then one day we just wake up, "You know what? I think I want to be my own king today. I think I'm going to do things on my own. I'm not going to, you know, I don't really want to listen to you today, God." And that's kind of the way we do it sometimes. We say to God, we want our own king. And you can hear God's sadness. And I don't want you to forget about that. The fact that God didn't say, "Samuel, they're rejecting you." God said, "You know what, Samuel? They're rejecting me." Jesus called people into the kingdom of God also. Mark 1, 14 and 15, he said, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Jesus in John 3, 3 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." As people, as we heed the call of God, as we repent and ask him to forgive us of our sins and to come into our lives and be Lord of our lives, we begin to enter that kingdom mentality where we're not going to a special place, but we're entering the kingdom in the fact that he becomes the ruler and the reigner of our lives. We invite him, we say to him, "God, please come and rule and reign in my life. Make the decisions for me." We have been grafted into the olive tree. We are part of the kingdom now. But we also can look forward to the fact that the kingdom is a future event. The trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised, and those who are alive in Christ shall meet him in the air, forever to be with the Lord. The kingdom is something also, a future event that will come. The groom comes for his bride, and in Revelation 11, 15 says, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." and we shall reign with him. Correct? It is something that we can look forward to, the kingdom being established by God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. God this morning wants us to seek the rule, his rule in our lives, to desire to have God to reign in our lives and not us to reign. What we do now, we need to understand, affects the eternity of ourselves and those around us. God wants us to have a kingdom mindset. Seek his desires, he says. Seek first my will for your life. The world seeks after possessions, property, popularity, fulfilling their needs and wants. But God says, seek me. Seek me. Don't seek that kind of things. Instead, seek after me. He wants us to seek after him. That's what's important. Our ways might not be God's ways, but God wants our ways to become like God's ways. God calls us this morning to prioritize our lives. And I call you this morning to examine your life and the priorities that you have established. What is important to you? I'm reminded of Matthew 19, 16 through 22, if you'd like to turn there with me. Matthew 19, 16 through 22. It's the story of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these I have kept from my youth up, what I lack yet. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. The young man could not sacrifice his worldly possessions for the calling that God had upon his life. He was not willing to lay down the earthly treasures for the heavenly gifts that God, in fact, promised him. He said you would have treasures in heaven, but he was not willing to part with that. He was not willing to prioritize his life. You know, I remember growing up, and I wanted to be rich. I mean, how many people here didn't want to be rich when they're growing up? You remember when you're a teenager or even younger or through that college years, you dream about having riches and possessions, and you know, you talk about it with your friends. I'm going to have a Ferrari, and no, I'm going to have a Porsche or whatever. And you dream about this kind of thing. You guys know what I'm talking about? Some of you, and I don't want to destroy that dream in your life, because if God has given you that dream, that's great. But you know that God wants to take that dream and make it his. We dreamt about, you know, having this huge house with a swimming pool and a rec room, and you know, you got these sports cars out front, and you got someone else washing and waxing them, of course. And you got your pilot, he's warming up your private jet so you can fly your family off to your vacation home in Italy, and then from there you're going to go to Australia or whatever. I mean, we've all dreamt about that kind of stuff. I mean, how many here have said they've never dreamt about it? You've dreamt about it. Some of us still dream about it. I mean, I don't know. But God is saying to us, we got to be careful not to seek what the world seeks, but to seek what God wants us to seek. I've had those dreams myself. I've dreamt about being a millionaire. And, you know, I think I think I probably would have became a millionaire. There's really not a question in my life if that's what would have happened. But one day, on a warm evening in July, God got a hold of my life. And he said, you know what? I'm going to take the dream that you have, and I'm going to give you a different one. And that dream is no longer to become wealthy. Does God bless me? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. But my dream now is to see teenagers come to know the Lord and to grow in their faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ and to teach them to grow to do the same. That is the dream that God has put in my life. He blesses me. He still takes care of me. But it's not a goal of mine anymore to have that kind of stuff. I just want to do what he wants me to do and let him take care of the rest. Do I look back sometimes and wonder what it would be like? Sure I do. I look back, wonder what it'd be like to have an easy life of people doing everything for me and wealth and fame or whatever the case may be. But just as I look back and begin to think, you know, that would have been nice. One of my daughters will come to me and wrap their arms around me and give me a hug and say, I love you, Daddy. And right there, I know that God has given me everything that I could ever want. Just being satisfied in what he wants for me. I still have needs, but God takes care of them. God doesn't say we can't have nice things or even riches. I'm not saying that this morning. In fact, the rest of the verse, if we continue on, states that if we seek the kingdom of God, all these things shall be added unto us. And of course, here they're talking more about needs than wants. But God says he takes pleasure in taking care of us. It's like my kids. I mean, they might not deserve something. They might ask for it, and I might not give it to them right away. But you know what? In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, if I had the money or when I can, I would like to get that for them because I take pleasure in giving to my kids. And God's the same way. He takes pleasure in giving to us. Mark 10, 29 through 30 says, I tell you the truth, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age and in the age to come, eternal life. God wants to bless us, but he wants to have our priorities straight. He wants us to have a kingdom mindset. What we think is ours is truly not ours. It's God's. He has just entrusted us to use it. It is his money. It is his clothes. It is his cars. It is his house. It is all his. It is his. He lets me spend it. It is his. He lets me wear it. It is his. He lets me drive it. It is his. He lets me live in it. When we see God's kingdom, we begin to see everything as his. And you know, we worry a whole lot less about the things of this world, the things that we think we need. We worry about that a lot less. We understand that God takes care of us. We're not concerned about losing it or someone taking it because it's not ours in the first place. It's God's to give and it's God's to take away. Job realized this. He lost everything he had. His family, his friends, his possessions. And he says, you know what? I'm still not going to curse God. Because it's God's, he gave it to me. And it's God's, he took it away from me. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be given unto you. God might not be telling you today to give everything you have to the poor. But I can promise you, he's telling you to give it to him. You ultimately have two ways to respond to the message this morning. You can leave sorrowful like the rich young ruler who was not willing to part with his possessions. Or you can respond like Zacchaeus responded when he saw the sin that he was living in. When he was confronted by Jesus, he gave half his possessions to the poor and paid back four times what he had cheated people. Which person will you choose to leave here with or like. Could I have everyone's head bowed and eyes closed? I want you to think for a moment of areas in your life that maybe you have not surrendered to God yet. And I would ask that maybe today you would confess to God that there are things in your life that you have not been willing to put under God's control. Maybe it's possessions. Maybe it's your dream. Maybe it's your finances or your family. Whatever it may be, God wants it. That's you this morning. You're confessing things to God. I would just ask that you would raise your hand up to the Lord this morning and to myself that I might be able to pray with you and encourage you. You know, my hand's up with you. I truly believe it's a daily thing. That you wake up every morning and you say, you know what, God? Again today, I surrender. I do not want to build my kingdom. I want to build your kingdom. I want to work with you, God, and have your desires. Thank you for those hands. You know what? I desire to put the correct price tags upon the important things in life. Things that are eternally value. 2 Corinthians 4:18, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And then 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for him who love him. You know, God desires to take care of our needs, desires to bless us far better than we ever think we could bless ourselves. I want to sing the song that they're playing this morning. You can continue to pray. You can stand up and sing it. Raise your hands unto the Lord. Surrender your life. Come to this altar. The altars are open. But I just pray this morning that you would not leave here as the rich young ruler, sorrowful in that fact that you cannot abandon your desires for God's.
Jesus, and all this is for you, for your glory and your fame. It's not about me, as if you should do things my way. Jesus, and all this is for you. consuming fire is in your gaze. Jesus, I want you to know I will follow you all my days. For no one else in history is like you.
Yes, Lord.
In history itself belongs to you. Love me, and I will share eternity with you.
Yes, Lord.
It's all about you.
It's about you, Lord.
Jesus, and all this is for you.
If you should do things my way. Sometimes we try to get him to do things our way, don't we? But God desires to rule over our lives that we might participate in his kingdom, not grow our own. Let's pray, and then you can be dismissed. These altars are still open. You continue to desire to seek God and his kingdom. God, we thank you for your word today. And how it has challenged our lives. Lord, we have known this in the past, God, but we just needed reminded of the fact that we desire to work within your kingdom. Lord, that we desire to have you rule and reign over our lives. We just pray, God, today that we would not leave here as a rich young ruler, but as Zacchaeus, redeemed and forgiven, desiring to do what is right. We pray, God, that we would come back safely tonight, that you would just be with everyone this week as they leave this place. In Jesus' name, amen.